and I'm Kevin Weiner, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Is prayer simply talking to God? Is a prayer like a coin which goes into a heavenly vending machine so that we can get what we want? In today's podcast and post, I begin a new ongoing series entitled The Riff. It's a less scripted reflection on topics that are vital to our understanding and experience. And today I'm going to consider real prayer. Join me now as I go off the notes and off the clock and follow the stream of consciousness wherever it leads. I hope that you'll join me. Hello, everybody. And thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And today we are going to do something new. And I hope that it speaks to you. I hope you will stick with it. Give me your feedback. I'd love to hear what you think about this. I am starting a new ongoing series, as I mentioned in the introduction, called The Riff. It's part of Beyond Everything Radio, but it is a less scripted time for me to give reflection and feedback and topically oriented considerations. I hope you find it interesting. Today, we're going to talk about what I call real prayer. It's podcast number 560. This is the riff number one, real prayer. And folks, I chose prayer because it's absolutely vital to life. And what I'm about to say about prayer is probably going to shock most of you. In fact, if you're sort of over-identified with your religion, if you think your denomination is the best one, there's a very good chance that if your identity is directly tied to religion and prayer is an aspect of that religion, that what I'm going to say might offend you. You might push back. You might ignore it, but I invite you to stick with me. I've prepared less notes, but I don't know if it's going to be shorter or longer because these are prompts for me to open my mind and just share with you. And so I hope that you will appreciate and enjoy this podcast, this new series. It's going to be different than my typical exposition where I just go verse by verse through the Bible. And so today I'm going to answer the question, what is real prayer? And prayer isn't a thing really that we can describe. Prayer is not a ritual to be performed. Prayer is not a command to be obeyed. Prayer is ultimate reality to be experienced. And as such, it might be easier to speak of what prayer is not than it is to say what it is. And I know that prayer gets oversimplified as people try and explain it. There's a casualty to it. There's also a formality to it. But as I reflect on it, this is my conclusion, and I hope I don't offend you. I'm not trying to say this from a place of arrogance, but a lot of time in prayer has revealed this to me, and that is this. Very few prayers actually exist. And what most of us call prayer is a fictional wish derived from a delusional or despairing self that's directed to an imaginary construct within our minds. I want you to think through that. Though this piece of wood in our mind is adorned with gold and fluffed up like a pillow with our many words, the false self, or worse, the religious false self, it cannot pray anything but a perfunctory dirge. A false self remains unknown to God, whose perfect truth. And false prayers are the womb that births atheism and fundamentalism. And until we can perceive that, most prayers are vapor. They're an illusion. They don't exist within reality or within God. And I'm sure that sounds a little bit offensive, especially if you're just told a little sincerity is what's supposed to drive it. And I think you're right. We can only have a real prayer when there's true sincerity of heart. But so much of us, so many of us don't even know who we really are, that sincerity is anything but sincere. But a pseudo prayer, all of these fictional vapors that don't ultimately exist, I think if believed, it can open us over time to the genuine invitation to real prayer. And only the real self can really pray. The real soul that's hidden in God cares for very little else other than God's will. So any prayer short of God's deepest desire and your desire to work that out is kind of missing the point. Real prayer is the word, the logos, that's contemplated by God and kind of geolocated within the most feeble and muddy of containers known as ourself. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to be real, meaning authentic. And thus, when our soul, who is found in God, becomes aware of God, contemplating us into existence each moment, we respond. We resonate a sort of tonal agreement, which goes beyond our words. It goes beyond our emotions, our theologies, which are so tiny, and our thoughts, which are almost always wrong, are incomplete at best. So God's beyond it. It's beyond everything. Real prayer is timeless. It's fully encompassing. It's a deep-seated yes, which satisfies us more than any aspect of life will ever satisfy us. And so a true prayer is that we can pray. So I hope you understand that I'm not making these statements in a condescending way, as if, oh, I've arrived and now you need to. Trust me, that is so far from the truth. I make these because I know that over the last 50 plus years of so-called praying multiple times per day, that my so-called prayers have revealed themselves to be anything but prayer. Their ego, their wishes, their self-aggrandizing. They are pride manifestations. They are hopes. They are requests for help, but not a request to know myself and my maker. Oh, yes, those have been in there, mixed in with all of these kind of muddy, messed up, very diminished, not real prayers is an essence of reality, authenticity, sincerity, And that's the part of the so-called prayer that is actually the prayer. So I'm going to share these nine things which I think real prayer is and isn't. And I hope that it helps you. After I share what I think this definition of prayer, that's to kind of frame what it is, then I'm going to show you how to pray. And then I'm going to pray. So I hope you'll stick around and participate or hopefully experience where this goes. Number one, real prayer is, first of all, real. Real meaning authentic. It's the term in the Greek New Testament that we would know as teleos. Perfect, authentic, real. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's really authentic. Get real. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they will see God. And so prayer is first real. It's the absolute poverty of your spirit. It's the end of your pseudo-self. Like, you have to get to the end of that. If you are really puffed up with yourself, if you're really proud of your religious performance or your goodness, real prayer will likely escape you. Number two, real prayer is never godless or vague. We live in a virtual Mount Olympus from Greek mythology. We have a pantheon of deities swarming around us. We have people from every nation, tribe, and religion telling us that their God can beat up our God. We have a whole world of YouTubers and TikTokers and gurus and life coaches who want us to pray to a higher power, a energetic force, a rhythm, an energy field, a non-specific, vague, godless prayer. Such a prayer does not exist. A real prayer can only go to the one true God who has created all things and in whom all things exist. If that is not a part of your framework of understanding, you cannot pray a real prayer. Your effort is a vapor, in my opinion. There is no nebulous force that can oversee your goodness. There's no surrounding you with a bright light energy if there is no God with a name. Number three, real prayer is not talking to God. It's not a performance. And in both of those two frameworks, there's this personal prayer and public prayer, right? And we're always taught through our religious upbringing and training that, you know, prayer is just you talking to God throughout the day. And your self-talk is also a prayer. And I'm not throwing that completely under the bus. But if you make that experience of talking to God like your buddy, like your imaginary best friend, then I don't think you're accessing the dimension that I'm trying to help lead you to. I've lived my whole life talking to God and seeing it as prayer. It's only in the last decade or so where I've come to realize that much of that was just my brain on autopilot, a non-thinking, non-contemplating brain. just reacting as if I had somebody listening. Is it any wonder that so many of our prayers are impotent? God says no or doesn't answer. You see, it's not just talking to God, and I'm going to show you why. In real prayer, number four, God is not up there. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. It's in the midst of you. It's about eminence. Imminence, right? It's the presence of God is here. It's within you. If you feel like you have to go to church to pray, you're missing it. You went too far. If you feel like you have to go to the woods to get still, that's helpful. But like I always say, if you go past the end of your nose, you went way too far. Number five, real prayer is always a petition for God and nothing else. What do I mean by that? Well, God's just a vending machine. He's going to give you what you want. No, but that's what our petitions end up being. Lord, give me this. Help me have this. Help me overcome that. Those are not wrong in any way. I understand our frailed humanity, of course. What a petition means to me is that everything comes from God. You have no existence at all apart from God constantly bringing about your existence moment to moment, sustaining you moment to moment. And in that, your petition then is every prayer is always a petition. But it's not a petition for you and your life, although that can be a part of it. It's first and foremost, real prayer is always a petition for God Himself. Like there's a hunger, there's a thirst for God, a love, a true, deep love for God and whatever He has to say, a willingness to obey no matter what the cost. Like if that doesn't exist, He's a vending machine God and it's a vapor and it just does nothing but make you feel good about yourself. Number six, real prayer is an unavoidable invitation or calling. Like you feel pressure to pray. If you feel, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do this because this is what religion would say. Oh, I'm out with Christian friends. I guess I better pray before the meal. If that's not coming from a true place of gratitude, then the prayer is just a superfluous religious rite. Prayer is always an invitation. Come to the wedding feast. The invitation to come and humble yourself and be in the presence of God is, it goes out to everybody. And most of us, as the story says in Scripture, say we're busy. Oh, I've got a wife, I got a field, I got a farm, I got a life, I got a business, I got a thing. Real prayer number eight or seven, I'm sorry, is wordless existence. Wordless existence. A real prayer starts at the end of your words. It's when you tap into the existence of God existing in and as you. It's a habituated, eternal flow of God that you, like I say, habituate into your life. It's an invitation to come and join and to humble and to die moment to moment, day by day, hour to hour, year by year, and be transformed, changed, invited into something new, something different, something that you did not plan. It is entirely not my will, but your will be done, Father. its wordless existence. Number eight, real prayer is subject to subject. It is not object to object. This is really confusing for people at first because we are so used to theology, which puts God as a subject, but we functionally just navigate around it as an object, and we see ourselves as an object bumping into other objects in the world that are different and other and separate from us, not seeing the integration of all things in God's design. This is all about knowing about God. That's what church and religion and theology is all about. It teaches you about God, about your faith. It teaches you about this. But the true prayer is a knowing God. Knowing in the biblical sense, intimate knowledge, deep union, connection. And real prayer only exists in the knowing part, not the knowing about. And so for those people stuck in their heads and their figure outers, they may have prayed many elaborate, beautiful prayers that bounced off the ceiling because it wasn't about knowing God as it was about knowing about God. And lastly, number nine, I think real prayer is transformational. It is not transactional. So many times we think of prayer as a transaction. Oh, it's that thing I got to do. It's the 5 minutes before bed. It's the first thing in the morning. It's the thing I do before I eat. It's, you know, I think of the Islamic religion. They have to pray five times a day, lay out a cloth, face east. It's so ritualistic. I'm not saying that some in sincere faith don't find some aspect of genuine expression there, but it's a great example of how a superfluous religious rite takes precedence over the real thing. You see it in Judaism, you see it in Christianity, you see, have you ever been to a Catholic Mass or an Episcopal Mass where the prayers are written out and scripted and they're just rote and they're read by the congregation and the priests and there's no life in them? It's just dead words that I suppose if you attest to them, there might be something deeper found. But it isn't the real prayer. It's just man droning on like an auctioneer. It's like Henry Scudder calls a court jester blowing a feather in the court of the king. Real prayer is transformational. It changes you from the inside out because you surrender it all. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer and ask you to do that if you are in a place where you feel a hunger to do so. So as I reflection then, let me just ask you this. Do you possess a thirst for prayer? Like when you wake up, do you just want to keep sleeping in? Is your appetite for more rest? Do you just want to sleep because it feels so good to be wrapped up in the covers and you're so comfortable on your pillow and you just can't imagine getting up? So you just lay there indulging your comfort until it's too late. You got to get up. Now you got to shower. Now you got to eat. Now you got to get in traffic. Now you got to get on that call. Now you got to do your thing. And so, like, if you have a prayer at all, it's wedged in between all of this busy hustle activity, and it is not real. Do you have a call to just get up before, long before you have to, because you hunger and thirst to sit in the unity and presence of God? Like, when is the last time you literally carved out part of your day and said, this is nothing but a prayer time. Could you do 15 minutes of silent prayer or even sitting in prayer? Could you do 15 minutes? Or would that be way too much? I'm not trying to belittle you or in any way insult you. I'm asking these questions because there's a very real chance, because I'm convinced as I look at the church and religious people, as I look and met people of all religions who say they have faith, and you press a couple buttons and there's no faith there. It's all window dressing. There's no love of God. It's love of religion. It's my faith is in my faith. So I go on Sunday, I do my thing. I spend all day at the Mormon church. I'll do all day at the Catholic church. I do all day at the Baptist church. I spend all Friday at the mosque and Saturday at the temple. But then, like, the prayer is, like, you can't get out of bed. Like, there's not enough love to sit still with God. Like, or no, you get it in another way, right? It's through all your hustle. It's on the trail. It's on the run. It's in the thing. Yes, I know God connects in all these ways. And I'm not diminishing your thing. But I am challenging you to question, is it a little bit lazy? Because there's not really a hunger or thirst for prayer. Do you long to connect to God? Do you love God? Like being, in this space, like, let me just walk you through what I think is a great way to begin, okay? I'm going to just describe how to enter real prayer. And then I'm going to offer a prayer, which is a words for you. So if you want to try finding this experience, begin by finding a place where you can sit undisturbed and where you're comfortable. And once you're there, just sit in a quiet, humble posture. Let your hands rest, let them fold, legs relaxed and comfortable. I don't care if they're crossed or not. You don't have to have them feet flat on the floor. There's no energy coming through the earth that you have to concern yourself with. There's no posture that signals a flow or a chakra or any of that. This is a humble posture within you. It's fine if you bow your head and close your eyes. That might be helpful, but what's most important is that you bow your inner self, that you have an inner posture that is humble. If you lack humility, you will never pray a real prayer. Begin noticing your breath. Take in a full breath, nice and slowly. This is a grounding exercise that connects you to your body, but this is going to start to help you enter into real prayer. You need to pay attention to all the tension that is in your body. Is it in your shoulders? Is it in your back, your head? And just begin releasing the tension with every breath that you exhale. Just let it out. And it might take you a few minutes to finally let your body settle down. But go through the conscious exercise of breathing slowly and deeply, releasing tension with every breath until your body does settle down. And when it does, then do this next thing. I want you to exhale gradually. And as you become aware of your air leaving you, as the breath which has been consumed exits your body, when you have expired this breath, sit for a brief moment without inhaling. In a few seconds, you're going to notice the discomfort of not breathing. It's going to start to increasingly become more and more uncomfortable with every passing second. Just sit in that discomfort just long enough to be aware of the discomfort. I don't want you passing out or falling asleep, but just give it a few seconds. And then begin to take in a slow, deep, cleansing breath and recognize that the satisfaction of inhaling the spirit and life of God. Breath is the same word as spirit and wind, pneuma. And when you take it in, you take in life. And this is important for you to realize that prior to receiving, taking in that new breath that filled you with the satisfaction and the release from the tension that you were experiencing, right? Prior to that, you were not just out of breath. You were experiencing death. You were dying. You were literally minutes away from physical death. Had that new life-giving breath not poured into you, not graced you into this moment right now, you would be passed out right now and possibly dying or dead. Like, you're here conscious because new life is gracefully being poured into you moment to moment. Receive that sustaining life. It's found in every single breath that you've ever had and that you will ever have. And receive it in gratitude. Surrender the life you cannot hold every minute you exhale. Like, you should then become clear about how the sobriety of our own frailty is so obvious. We take for granted that this breathing is some autonomic nervous system. But it's God who's giving you mouth to mouth, moment to moment, day by day, sustaining you in all of the horrible things you've done because he loves you despite them. These are the beginning flashes of real prayer. This is how we ground ourselves in our body and become conscious of our desperate need for God, who graces us with every breath, though we forget to thank him for them. The breath is the word becoming flesh. Moment to moment, in as you. Our lives are the life of God being poured into us. Not that we are in any way deity, but that we are absolutely nothing apart from God. As soon as God stops breathing into you, you're done, and so am I. It will be our last breath. You cannot make yourself breathe. This is total dependence on God and his goodness. And your body is teaching you that. It has been teaching you that all along. And from here, our words are only just self-serving. Like, if you start filling this space of awareness with words, then all those thoughts and ideas and emotions, our sense perceptions, our senses of anxiety or nervous or fear, or, you know, busy or whatever it is, they all keep us from sitting still. With this humiliation of our total dependence on God. All these things that flood into our minds, they indulge the distraction of life. It's far better to just sit still in silence and darkness and exist as God exists in you. But if your mind takes you away, try not to go with it. Be still and know God. Seek divine union by way of humility and forgetting about yourself. Focus on the force that's feeding you life moment to moment, as opposed to what you want out of this life moment to moment. That version of you that believes it is all those thoughts, like, you really think you are those thoughts? You really think you are that feeling? You really think you are your sense perception? Like, you're going to discover a deeper version of you who observes all this stuff happening and learns to mortify, to put to death anything that isn't God's luminous darkness, silence. You're going to learn to shut all that out. And that is the beginning of real prayer. And in that moment of stillness, quiet, body that's centered and still and humble and broken and desperately aware of our dependence on God's goodness and grace, that's a person who's ready for real prayer. You are being real. That's your real state, not your, excuse me, not your illusion state that you carry around with you, the mask you wear, all the things you do, the trophies you show off. That's not you. There is no agenda in your life that matters more than this present moment. And if you can't perceive that, you haven't got real yet. It's just not your time. You may be in the process of being called into that, but once you completely experience, you'll know it. Like, you will know it because you will literally have nowhere else and nothing else that you want more than a second more of this presence. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. This graced awareness cannot be obtained through human will. You can't soul force yourself, as Thomas Merton would say, into this. You can't just, I'm going to put all the things and light the candle and play the music and sit on the cloth and do the thing and ring the bell and blah, 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 rub a crystal, say the prayer, read the Psalms, you can't chant your way here. But try again once you embrace humiliation. Once you reach the end of yourself, if all those things give you a sensation and a feeling, it's just you patting yourself on the back. God is not in those things. It's despite them, beyond them. Real is beyond it all too. And here God reveals himself in that darkness, that emptiness. In your nothingness, he becomes real, shows all, he reflects all, as if each revelation arises on the scene. You just see it, and you're like, oh, wow, this is new. This is a perspective I hadn't considered, and you know not to latch on to it. You let it go. You just receive it as it is. See it, and then you don't try and memorize it. You don't try and hold it. You don't possess it, because the possessing is to lose it. You just stay in the flow of reception and gratitude. And it set it free in your life to do the work God wills to do. This is how you receive correction. Not by beating yourself up and condemning yourself. But you don't defend yourself. That would be even worse. Argue against God, why you're so good and you don't deserve that judgment that he's giving you. You can ask for forgiveness without words by just simply agreeing. This is what Richard Rohr in the Living School would say, just get to your yes. Get to agreement. Your prayer is real when you are agreeing with God. Nothing more. And as we do this, we will become quieter and quieter, and divine stillness begins to set in. Most of us can't get to that point because we've got a schedule, an agenda, a thing. We're anxious. We're just antsy. I can't sit still. I can't focus on that. I want to play music. I need to talk. I need to, whatever it is. I have a sermon to write. I have a song to sing. I got a thing to do. Just stay in the stillness and silence as long as he will allow you to. Trust me, as soon as you have borne all that you can, God will release all of us back into our necessary surface level corporeal bodily life, our so-called reality, which feels small and fictional by comparison to what we just experienced. In real prayer, real life looks fictional. See, living in a world, the formula is very simple. Now that your eyes are open and you're back and you've touched infinite reality, you know that it's not about religion or compliance or behavior modification. Those are just window dressing. It's superfluous. It's empty. It's a waste. Paul said it's powerless. But what you do have is a response. And that response is called faith. And you receive each moment as it comes. Each day, each part of your agenda is necessary and beautiful and important for you. It shapes you it involves you in the corporate relationship between you and all the rest of the world. And you are to bring this agreement into that moment. You're to see your human life as a vital, beautiful, but brief aspect of your eternal life found in God. You ask yourself, what is the most loving thing I can do to respond to this moment that I've had? And then you take immediate action. Well, I have to join a Zoom call. I will join the Zoom call with the greatest amount of love and enthusiasm and service and excellence that I can. I will bring my very best to this moment in response to what God has done in that moment. And you do this action with excellence and service all the time. You just live in that space of donating yourself, emptying yourself because God has emptied himself into you and the flow takes place. You don't empty, you never run out because God never runs out. He's flowing into you and you're flowing into the world. That's what real prayer does. And then you greet each next moment without judging it. You don't determine if it's good or bad. It's just necessary and beautiful. It possesses everything you need. Nothing is missing. And now your life has become a prayer. The very thing you do each moment is your prayer. That's real. It's tangible. You've got flesh on it. And even the temporal bears witness to what has become very real. Folks, that's the best description I can give you. And we're 41 minutes into this exercise so far, and I hope that you're still with me. I hope that you will practice what I just offered. I hope that you'll give it a try. And what I would like to do now is invite you into a worded prayer that I hope and pray will take us beyond those words. So if it's in your heart to pray, join me. Join this moment, open yourself, and see if you are here now. Heavenly Father, within every one of us is an eternal name, an identity that has always existed because your perfect mind and wisdom has always existed. This real name for us was never a new idea for you, nor can this name ever be forgotten by you. And it's this reality which we seek in real prayer this moment. Father, we ask that you grace us with just a glimpse of this deep, true self who exists in you, who's sustained by you, that exists within our life. A life that, no matter what it looks like, was designed and shaped and purposed specifically for us in this time for your good pleasure and for your will. Allow us enough sight and self-awareness to compare the self that we have constructed for our life with this true self that you have given from eternity past. Grant us the ability by your love, Father, to see our thoughts, our emotions, to see our habits, our reactions, to be an observer of our life, to gain self-awareness of our behavior and our assumptions, and see them for what they are. Father, allow us to forsake any confidence that we would put in them. They are horrible guides. Your word says that if we deny this version of ourself, that even being willing to let it suffer and die, that we would find and learn how to live in this eternal version of ourself, the real self, where this real prayer is coming within our temporary state. You've told us that if we cling to this fictional part, that we will lose the true part. Lord, we think we see that now. And we ask that you would take this awareness and move us to the next discovery. Father, I know that you love us and that you hear our prayers. We ask that you'd have mercy on us. The confusion in our minds over what is ultimately real is so overpowering. It's so distracting. We can hardly find true north. And so we ask for you. We ask that you would give us a thirst which will drive us to the source, to utter dependence upon you. Only in you, this eternal, real self can pray like this. So Lord, test our hearts with these following words. Father, I surrender everything. I hold nothing back. You can take my wealth, my status, my earthly power, my health, my family. It's all yours. There's nothing in this life that I desire more than you. And like Paul, I count it all as a loss, recognizing the fictional existence that it really is. I know that it's not a nothing. It is important, but it's not as important as knowing you. It's not real in the same way that you are real. Nothing on this surface level life that I cling to will last even 100 years. And so all I have has been given to you by, has been given to me by you, Father. So I willingly surrender it all to you. Can you pray that prayer? Keep praying. Father, every fear, every hope, every dream, all that I want and think that I need, it's all yours anyway. So whatever you grace me with, I will receive with gratitude and seek to honor you as a good custodian of your grace. Please, Lord, orient me toward your truth. Give me a hunger for reality. Grace me with the eyes to see the temporal world and all the goodness that is latent within it. Direct my gaze so that I can look at everything on this plane of existence long enough to love it. And guide my next step so that I can greet each moment as a gift from you, which contains everything I need to remain right here, right now. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who alone makes this awareness and this experience of new life possible. No religion in human history has ever made that possible. But the gift of your Son has made that possible. Anything that could stand between a human and you, Father, has been removed. May Christ shepherd each of us by his love and bring us into union with you so that we may know and experience real prayer. Amen.